Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour Lovecast. I am your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I'm here with my husband and co-host,
the Kev on Stage.
Yes, the every time cracks me up. and we have a special guest with us at Sexologist Samira.
Hey, clap it up, studio audience. Josh, Yay! Come on, man. You know you're the only audience.
I am like excited is an understatement for. Excited, how excited I am. I really don't know another word. But I am like truly, truly, truly so excited and so honored to have you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Black girl magic.
Yeah.
Hey girl, hey, I am.
What?
Just making black girl sounds.
Okay. Those were. So I want to give a little bit of Shamira's bio. So Shamira is a sexologist and licensed clinical worker and owner of a private practice in Louisiana, which you will hear her New Orleans accent.
New Orleans, people are wheezing.
I don't have an accent.
What you know about it, baby? Yeah. Pralines.
It's not that thick. It's pralines.
I was about to say.
Flowerlines.
And it's definitely not that thick.
Baby.
She has been featured on Therapy for Black Girls podcast, which if you have not listened to that podcast, you absolutely should. It is phenomenal. And that's actually where I was introduced to Shamira. I heard her on that podcast and I was like, I need her. Like today, I need her to be on the podcast. I like immediately emailed after I heard that that episode. She has also been featured on HuffPost and Bustle. So, child, she's just doing all the things.
Yes,
all the things. And she is joining us for today. And like I said, I am truly, truly excited. So, we are going to get into this or that as we always do. Actually, before we go there, I'm like all over the place because I'm so excited. So, I'm gonna calm down just a little bit. I want to thank our sponsor Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode. Thank you guys so much. And they sponsored like two episodes ago, and I just want y'all to know y'all been in my DMs.
The streets is talking about Blue Chew. Oops. And the ministry. So that is enhanced performance.
Amen. All I'm saying is if you haven't tried it. I have literal testimonies in my DMs. So thank you guys for supporting our sponsors.
Well, she got testimonies.
Hello. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you're actually supporting us. So thank you guys so much. Oh, and then I also want to talk about the book club book for the month. And that is For Women Only by Shanti Feldham. And I'm like obsessed with this book all over again. It's one of those books that she always has. Have you ever read this book?
Which one?
For Women Only?
No.
Oh, it's so good.
I have not.
You should. It's so good.
I have so many books.
It's so good. And I think depending on where you are, like in your walk and in your like different part of your relationship, there's different parts of the book that stand out. So as I'm listening to it, I'm only on maybe chapter two or chapter three. And she was talking about men's need to be affirmed. And it was so good because it just reminds me of like the growing that I need to do. But she was saying how women we sometimes have we can try to validate our man and we accidentally end up like criticizing, like in the midst of our compliment. It's like, oh, thank you so much for cleaning the kitchen, but you missed those crumbs over there.
Y'all do that.
We do. And I know I have been guilty of this. And what happens is I remember in our relationship, Kevin saying to me, I never feel like what I'm doing is good enough. And I remember being like, where'd you even get that from? Like, I've never said that. Like, I'm confused. Like, how did you deduce that? And it's through these like affirmation criticisms that we do that we communicate what you're doing isn't good enough. Thank you, but
right.
And it's something that I think as women we do really unknowingly, and we don't like saying it to another woman. I don't think that we would see that as criticism. We would be like, oh, thank you, now I know what I can do better. And I think for men, because their inner need is this affirming of their manhood. It is their affirming of not that I am worthy, but like this insecurity. That's what it is. It's affirming of like this insecurity, this imposter syndrome. And because they need that affirmation, when we do that, we're actually like feeding that insecurity yep. instead of saying you've done good enough. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think that's like the biggest tidbit that I've gotten. It is. It is a word. And it just reminded me of how far I have to go and something that I have to work on. So that is something I will be working on. I also want to say this really quickly, too. While we are reading this book, I know a lot of couples watch the show. Men, pick up the book.
Or do the audio version.
Or do the audio version. Thank you very much, Kevin Fredericks. That was good. Make sure you pick up the audio version because women like to invest in their relationships.
Yes.
And when they do, they feel like that is showing that I love you and this is how I am trying to grow in our relationship. And when men don't reciprocate, you actually end up communicating that you don't want to invest and you don't value not only the relationship, but you don't value them.
Right.
Because I find this to be important and you're not taking part in that.
Mm-hmm. This is good.
So,
it's a good podcast. No. It's a great pocket.
Thank you.
I subscribe.
But also, I actually end up basing a lot of this on how I would feel. And I try to be like really in tune to like how I would think about this. But I do want to get like clinically trained so that way I have the science to back up what I'm saying. Okay.
I don't blame you.
But also, so I say all that to say there have been women that are like, oh, this is so good. I wish I can get my husband to read this. And I want to encourage those men to pick up the audio version.
Yeah.
And get the book and show your wife that you care and you are willing to invest in that relationship. Yes. And that she's not the only one that has room for improvement, but allows you the opportunity to also see blind spots in areas that you have room for improvement. And then you can come to her and say, I apologize. I haven't done this right. I see that now. They've communicated this in a way that I understand. I realize I am a victim of doing that to you. I apologize. I will work on doing that better.
Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, if you're not going to seek it out, like, you know, if you go out of your way and do it as men, the least you can do is when your wife sends a link.
Watch it.
Listen to it. Melissa sent me countless podcasts, countless. And I'd be like, poof, AirPods in, because you know we ain't broke over here. And I listen.
He's so annoyed.
As a matter of fact, I need to listen to the Audible thing, but I ain't been in the gym. The devil been busy. But I listened to this book on Audible like two or three times. And I know I've been hearing you listen to it, and I've been like, okay, I got to get back into it. But so Melissa sent me a podcast. I would not only listen to that episode, I would download that podcast. So sometimes I'm listening and then I would send it to her like, hey, I'll listen to this episode, what do you think about this? And now it feels like you care as well.
Exactly.
Because you want your wife to feel like that. And if you're not going to go out of your way, at least honor her request when she suggests something. And a lot of times it'll be a light suggestion like, hey, I was reading this thing, what do you think about this? And we'd be like, all right, gone. You know what I mean? Like, we're very dismissive of it. And I imagine like your wife will stop wanting to suggest stuff.
And
feel
she
like
just
you don't
interprets
care.
That as you don't care.
And what y'all both are talking about is intimacy, right? That is intimacy.
Yes! Jump in, Shamara.
That's what y'all are talking about. Y'all are actually describing intimacy. I'm reaching out to you in this way. And when you respond to me a certain way, it shows me that you're invested in what I care about. You care about me. You see me. You hear me. You value me. That's intimacy.
Who talking good here?
Listen,
Shamara.
Low key, that was the definition of intimacy.
That's that's the definition I use. Being seen, being heard, being valued.
There's a black
being
girl
seen,
crush
heard,
happening
being
between y'all right
being
here.
Seen,
I can see
heard,
the,
being valued.
The tension of
the tension,
of crushiosity.
You see it? The crushiosity.
Listen, make sure y'all got that. I just want to say that one more time. Being seen, being heard, being valued.
The definition of intimacy.
I'm going to tweet quote that because that's an amazing definition.
Being seen, being heard, being valued.
And I have said those things and never put them together.
That's intimacy. That's intimacy.
Child, that was good.
Because what you're saying is I'm emotionally vulnerable. And when your partner responds to that emotional vulnerability with emotional security, that creates a connection.
You better come in and say it clear on the hood. That was great. When you respond with emotional security.
Yeah.
That's reassurance.
That's reassurance. It tells me that this is safe. It's safe here. I can be vulnerable. I can be raw.
That's why when men are afraid to be vulnerable, if I'm vulnerable to you and you put it in my face, it's because you didn't respond back with emotional security.
That, yeah, you didn't tell me that it was safe for me to be this person, this raw. You didn't tell me that my rawness was okay.
Oh my gosh. So this weekend I was listening to, I'm like so excited, but I was listening to Ella Mai's Naked Song.
Yeah.
That's this.
Yes.
It is this. Yes. And that is.
Say, I don't know the Naked Song.
Oh
yeah.
Can you see me?
It was on the Ganji tapes.
Yeah. Is it?
It's on the Ganji tapes. It's on the Ganji tapes, volume 2. You guys got to get the Ganji tapes. They're Josh's Twitter, at Joshy Ganji, just tweeted the Ganji tapes. That's how I heard that song.
Oh, my gosh.
It's on the Ganji tapes, right after Teyana Taylor song.
I was packing 5011 things of merch because there were so many orders. And I just had my iPhone on shuffle. And that song came on, and I started listening to the lyrics. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is an amazing song.
Yeah, I do. It is. That is intimacy. That's vulnerability, being naked, being
wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Child, podcast over.
Oh,
wait, we got to add. We got to do. But low key, that was like the word right there.
Yes. They got the word.
Social media clip.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go into this or that.
This or
that wasn't even the podcast topic, but that was like
Kev and Liz.
Part A. Hallelujah. Okay, so the podcast, the this or that.
That or this.
That or this. Insert jingle here.
It's time for this or that with Kev and Liz. This or that with Kev and Liz. Tomato.
Tomato. Potato.
Potato.
We choose each other, no matter the problem. This or that with Kev and Liz. This or that with Kev and Liz.
Okay. Would you rather get an alert every time your parents had sex or have your office get an alert every time you had sex?
Is Shamar going first?
Yes. I'll let the guests go first, Kevin.
Oh. I'm going to go first. I'd say let my office get an alert.
Ooh.
Yeah, y'all can see.
Is it my turn?
Go, Kev.
Okay, let me take you through my thought process.
Okay. You always do.
I got to. I don't want to get an alert from my parents.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be having to hold them accountable. Okay. If ain't enough sex going on, I'm going to be hitting mom and dad. It's been 2 weeks.
What?
Y'all, nothing been happening in the house. Okay. Y'all are getting older in age. I understand. You know, if you're struggling, there's something that might help you. Blue Chew is there for you.
Hey, come on, daddy.
If it's a performance enhancing thing, that's your meaning.
Try it though, daddo. Try
Blue Chew. I know you up in age. You retired from the military. You might not think you got it no more. Mom, if you ain't around to throw that thing in a circle for him, you got to be at home. Throw that thing around for that man. He over there paying that mortgage. Throw that thing. Sit on that. Flip it. Turn it upside down.
Wait. You're kind of making a case for why you would want to get the alert.
That's my thought process.
Okay.
But out of now. So our office is just Josh. It's just Josh.
He's the only one on payroll.
Josh is the only one.
And Candace.
So I feel like if it was like if I still worked at ADD, I'd be more embarrassed because it's like a whole bunch of people. But just two people being like, well, they're at it again. Just Josh being like, guys, I mean, I'm going to be there in 15 minutes. Like, what? Do you even have enough time?
So embarrassed.
So... And part of me was like, man, maybe I want, you know, to stunt. Like, oh, man. I want to be like, hey, Kevin, Liz is getting in.
Okay, give me
let
answer.
Me ask you a question. Is it alert just a vibration Kevin and us are having sex? Or is it like telling them?
No. It's just
a video.
It's a
what?
It's a what? So it's just an alert Kevin and us are having sex?
Just an alert on your phone.
Oh, alert. I thought it was a video. Sorry.
So like a notification bops down on the
yes,
phone.
Yes, that's it. Shamar went way to a video.
Oh, yeah. I thought initially when I responded, I was thinking video. Sorry.
I'm going to go with my parents. Only because I feel like that's less notifications.
Yeah,
up in age a little more. They probably ain't going at it as much as they should be.
I don't know. I'm not going with my parents because my dad likes Blue Chew. So that's his thing.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah, baby girl, him and my Blue Chew. Me and your mother got plans for Valentine's Day.
He carries it around, Pop.
Does he really?
Like, that is hysterical.
So I'm gonna go with my parents because me and my mom have this thing where we try to embarrass each other.
Yes, they
about
do.
Sex and stuff.
Oh, that's
so. True. When I go see my parents, I'm like, "You and Dad was having sex last night," and she'll be
and
like,
she'll answer.
"Not last night. I was a little tired, but Thursday, well, your father still got it."
I have a 4-year-old who does that.
My mom is the only person who can out embarrass me because when she answers back, I'll be like, "Okay." You know, and she was like, "Oh, we was on vacation." I'm like, "Okay, bye."
I'd be so
and to not put Josh in a weird spot, I'd rather just deal with my parents because that's a quick swipe up.
I agree.
I get to know. Oh, come on, Dad. I'm supposed to be at church. All right, okay. What about you?
I'm going with parents as well, kind of for those very same reasons. I'm easily embarrassed. And I don't need none of it. I don't need none of the, I don't need nobody to know my business.
I'm with that.
So,
but you'd rather learn your parents' business?
Absolutely. Quick swipe up. Mute the notification. I don't need to see it. I don't care what I
You can't
up.
Mute it. You can't mute it.
This is my game. You can't mute it. No, you can't.
The bitch or dad never said you can mute. If you can mute you it, can then mute it's not it. The same thing.
Then it's the same thing?
It's not the same thing. If you can mute it, then you wouldn't get no notification.
Why do you get to make rules in my world?
The this or that got to be fair.
Well.
It got to be fair.
Fine. But either way, I would rather get my parents.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
But you did talk about, well, and then, so let's talk about this really quickly. We have a giveaway going on.
Yeah.
For Valentine's, for the month of February, we're going to give it out, announce the winner at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Okay. The box will include a Happy Couples box, but also for Valentine's Day, if you want it to be a winning Valentine's Day combination, we recommend the box.
Yes.
And Blue Chew.
Now, let me tell you about Blue Chew. All right, Shamaya, this might not be weird to you, Josh. It's going to be weird for you, baby boy. Blue Chew. Okay, they're sponsors of the show.
They are.
Friends of the pod.
They are.
Lissa ordered some Blue Chew.
Okay, fast shipping.
Fast shipping. Okay, she ordered it.
I think I ordered it either on Thursday or Friday, and it was here yesterday.
It was here yesterday. Now, mind you, I've been on that old road, okay? I had five different dates last night. Ooh. Six shows. Five cities, 5 days. So I had to travel on Wednesday, perform Wednesday. Travel on Thursday, perform Thursday. Travel on Friday, perform twice on Friday.
Yep.
Travel on Saturday, perform. Travel on Sunday, perform. Travel on Monday. Now, I done missed that woman.
Hello?
I miss that softness. I've been staying in hotel beds. It's always cold and lonely and dark.
Okay, keep going. You're making me hot.
So when I get home, I see your Blue Chew thing. I say, oh my. Now, here's why it was important, okay? Because you would think Blue Chew, you know, performance enhancing is just for erectile dysfunction.
And it's not.
And it's not. Now, the reason it was really valuable for me yesterday, my wife, I'm trying to get home. I get home from L.A. or in L.A., try to take a nap. Okay, I'm in my bed laying down next to my wife. She's working quietly, typing. Now, my wife's been doing this thing where her carpal tunnel will be acting up. So instead of texting, she talks into her phone.
Yeah, I love texting in 2018.
She texts to talk. She holds it up. You know, the iPhone thing, right? Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, she forgets that I'm taking a nap. And the merch guy is, she has to tell him something. So I'm sleeping peacefully. I hear, what day you finna drop off the delivery? I know, you know I got to send these shirts out on the 95 sweatshirt. When that day coming on Monday or Tuesday? What day you gonna been to get here? Is it coming Monday or Tuesday?
So clearly,
and I wake up, I'm like, fam, why are you yelling in the... Is it Monday or Tuesday? What day is the drop-off coming?
Why do I sound like that?
Because that's what I was just... I mean, you know when you just fall asleep? Like, you ain't there good yet?
But
you just crossed over? Monday, Tuesday. Okay, hit me back. No, I'm going to be... I got to pick up the Buick. I'm going to be back. The Buick. So now I'm awake. Okay, so now I can hear my phone buzzing. People are texting me. Emails are going on. I just crossed over. And then I'm like, Liz, why are you? I wasn't even that loud. I was just a little bit quiet. I'm going to go work in the living room and call my mom. She closes the door. Mom, I don't know what day the merch is coming. Is it Monday or Tuesday? He ain't respond back. So now, and then we end up shooting Righteous and Ratchet. And long story short, I've been tired all day.
Oh, yes. Mercy.
But I'm not so tired that I don't want to have that booty that I've been waiting on.
Right.
Okay. Hello?
So. We take a shower. I put this Blue Chew in, right? And I'm like, you know, we'll see. It takes 30 to 45 minutes to like
kick in.
Warm up. When I tell you, my eyes were tired, but my body was awake. I was like, hold on. Remember when Mario Brother got the star? I was like, hold on. I feel my help coming on. Oh, Jesus. What is this? I felt strong. I felt like I could break doors down. And it was weird because I was still tired, but now I'm ready to go.
Yes.
And I felt like when, I just felt like, you remember Pump It Up, the Reebok? Hold on, I want to dunk.
Shoes up. Yeah.
It was like a Pump It Up for your peen. Yeah. It was like, yo, it's like a bonus life. Like, I was like, man, this is, so the urge was there and the strength. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. 35 years old. I was like, wow, hello. I feel very much different now. I feel like a superhero.
You are so annoying.
And here's the best part, okay? Men, I know we talk a lot of trash. Girl, I'm going to give it to you 3-4 times a night. You just wait. One time. When that refractory period begins, you be like, girl, I'm just give me a second. Hold on. Give me like 15. Give me like 30. Next thing I know, it's tomorrow. I've been waiting for another chance. With Blue Chew, I was both finished and just starting all over again. I was like, hold on.
Get him.
It's still pretty much there. It's pretty much stronger.
He cannot be got.
I've never been having this much stronger afterwards. I still can't do another sex. So Melissa's tired. I'm like, hold on, because I need another sex. She's like, Kev, I think I fell asleep. You didn't. You wake. We're talking. You can't be asleep. So I can now personally attest that you don't have to have ED to have a great experience. Yes, so let me tell you what I'm looking forward to. Valentine's Day.
Uh-oh.
You get down. How many pills were in there, kid?
Five.
Five pills. You and only you need one.
It says take one or two. I only took one. One was plenty for me, but if you need two, do what you do. But
start with one.
Start with one, but it was a great experience. And one of my fears, to be honest, was like, man, what if it just lasts all night? Like, I'm also tired. But after the experience, it was like, all right. And he was like, y'all good? Y'all good? Everybody good? All right, I'm finna go. And I was like, all right. But he had to make sure I was cool. I got everything I needed. He gave me plenty of time.
Oh, my God.
He was like, all right, I'm gonna catch up with y'all. So it was, like, definitely worth it. And I'm gonna just keep a little special drawer.
You really should.
Because I'd be exhausted when I come back home and we'd be traveling on tour. You know, you have 3 a.m. lobby call.
Yeah.
And we're traveling like crazy. We want to still have those good connecting periods.
Good. Yeah.
And Blue Chew really came in the clutch. So listen, tell them how they can get their own experience.
So if you're interested in this experience, please go to bluechew.com. Enter promo code LOVEHOUR. You will get $5 off your first order and free shipping.
Yes.
It's very, you go to the website, you fill out like a few questions, you fill in your ID to ensure that you're 18 years or older. Please be 18 years or older. And then they ship it out. So you get a notification that says your prescription's ready and they ship it out to you. And it came like literally really, really fast.
I came literally really fast.
Because after hearing that, I'm about to go order me some Blue Chew.
Really, yes,
totally
do the things.
My joke, and I'm going to run it back.
What?
I came like really fast.
What'd you say?
But I was still ready to come again. You feel me? Come again?
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
We're taking the stigma out of sex.
Yes.
We are. That is the theme for the whole month. I didn't know how. Kevin
taking
makes a jingle out of anything.
It's an 80s sitcom. Taking the stigma out of sex. Okay.
Okay. So one more time, go to bluechew.com. Enter promo code LOVEHOUR. That's LOVEHOUR. You get $5 off your first order and free shipping. Totally worth
on Valentine's Day.
Yes. So literally, people, if you're not celebrating Valentine's Day because it falls during the week, order it when this episode comes out and you can probably get it by the weekend. It's going to be good for your life. So do the things.
And your penis.
Do the things, people. Do the things. And we appreciate when you support our sponsors because, like I said, you end up supporting us as well.
Yes.
All right. Amen. Ready to move on to the topic?
Ready.
Okay. So today's topic. I'm so excited. So today's topic, we are going to talk about sexual exploration within marriage.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Basically, what we're going to be talking about is having your whole phase, but being married, though.
Your Rahab phase. Have your Rahab phase.
Because you're married, though.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, for those of you who are new to the podcast, just a little bit about like my background. Kevin and I grew up very churchy, and I was a virgin on our wedding day, and that came with a lot of, I actually don't even really think that I understood the impact of making that vow, like to be, because I knew I wanted to be a virgin on my wedding day. Like that was actually a goal that I had, but I didn't understand the negative impact or the negative view that I had on sex. So when I got married, I was like exposed and I wasn't like, not only I wasn't prepared, but I wasn't prepared because I didn't even know. You know what I mean? Like, it was like all of a sudden it was like, "Whoa, okay, now you can be a freak in the bed." And I was like, oh, but wait, sex is still bad.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, mm-hmm. I think sex is bad. You know, it was like this whole.
You could not turn that switch off.
I couldn't turn it off, but I didn't even know the switch was on to begin mm-hmm. with. And that's the part. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to talk about is, number one, how to maintain a healthy relationship with sex, to remain sex positive if it is your endeavor to either be celibate or to be a virgin on your wedding day, like how to maintain that healthy relationship with sex so that way when you do get married, you're able to enjoy this in the context in which God ordains. But in addition, if you do have a lot of shame with sex and all of that, how to, you know, walk through the steps of breaking free from that so that way you can enter exploration.
Yes.
And it's so important. I just want to say this really quickly. I was like, I like words a little bit sometimes mm-hmm. And definitions because they make like connections for yeah. me. And one of the things that exploration is just new experiences. And one of the things that builds intimacy in a relationship is when you have new experiences together. Mm-hmm. And we negate.
You mean outside of sex, just in general.
Yes. But specifically with dealing with sex, we don't allow ourselves that opportunity to explore and do things together and to build that intimacy together. Mm-hmm. And so you just end up either being bored or doing the same things or, you know, one of you always saying no. And this whole area just becomes like a very, you know, like touchy subject that don't nobody really mm-hmm. want to like yeah. talk about. Yeah. So I was listening to Shamira on the Therapy for Black Girls podcast, and she brought this up and I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes to all of the things. So do you want to start by maybe giving us your first let's start with the celibate part. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how can we maintain a sex positive relationship if we are trying to be either virgins on our wedding day or if we are celibate or, you know, any of those things? And really, like, even training our kids, maybe, like, I want to make sure that I even teach my kids a healthy view of sex.
Mm-hmm. And basically, that's what sex positivity is. It's having a healthy view of sex, having a healthy view of your own sex and your own sexuality, but also being comfortable with it, right? Mm. Being accepting and being comfortable with it and others, as long as it's healthy for you and it's safe. As it relates to abstaining from sex and being celibate, mm-hmm. even while you're waiting to get married, sometimes that's really hard for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of younger couples come into the practice and they're like, look, we waiting, but this is hard. Mm-hmm.
You know, is there like anything literally we could do, just a little
something. Like, please,
sex light.
We talked to the pastor, but he was like, nah. So
what do you
I get
tell
it.
Them when they ask that?
So I get it, right? Mm-hmm. And a big issue is they think that because they can't have sex, they can't think about sex. Or
oh my gosh, yes. That is a new revelation I just had mm-hmm. in that when you think I need to be a virgin or I'm celibate, you throw the whole
thought process.
Throw and the that's baby not out good with either. The
that's what damages us. Yes. You know, when we talk about sexuality and having a positive outlook on sex, mm-hmm. when you think about sexuality, most people go to intercourse. Our brains mm-hmm. go straight to intercourse. P and V, right?
Mm-hmm. What? P and V-G.
Yeah, that. So exactly, that's exactly where our brains go. And so basically I help couples go back to defining what sexuality is to them, right? You can abstain. And for, you know, the purpose of this, when I say abstain, I mean wait until you get married mm-hmm. to have sex. Mm-hmm. So you can abstain from sex and still be a sexual person because we're born sexual mm-hmm. beings. Yes. We are born with a sexuality that's innate, right? Mm-hmm. So whenever they ask me this, I kind of ask them, like, what's holding you back? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it could be whatever their religion is, mm-hmm. cultural norms, societal norms, mm-hmm. things that they've learned from their family, which is horrible for a lot of us, and things that we tell ourselves as well.
Yeah.
So I things help that we to, tell
yeah,
ourselves.
Things that we tell ourselves that so we're true. Not supposed to do.
Yes.
So I help them to lean into the guilt that they feel for thinking about sex and also the shame, mm-hmm. right, for thinking about sex. And it's like, oh, we can't kiss because I'm going to think about sex or I'm going to feel this. And I'm like, okay, what's wrong with feeling that?
Mm.
Like when your stomach is growling, right, and you're hungry, what yeah. do you do?
Eat. So what I do when my penis is growling.
So when your penis is growling, hopefully your penis isn't growling.
Go to the doctor, please.
But if you know, if you get an erection, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you start feeling all tingly inside and you feel like you have that electricity in the bottom of your stomach because you're hugging your partner or you're kissing or you see something that's erotic, you know, or arousing to you, it's like, oh my God, I'm a bad person. I'm not supposed to be thinking about this, Lord. This is lust. I can't do this. I'm not supposed to have sex, but I want to. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You are a sexual person. It's okay. That's a feeling. Feelings are our guides. It tells us what's going on in our bodies.
And yes, so you deal I like with the that feels. Definition.
You know, you deal with the feels. And right. The thing about feelings is feelings. They don't want to be residents, right? Mm-hmm. They want to be travelers. So the feeling is there to teach you something about yourself in a moment. And whatever you own it and you let it go. Because whatever you own, you can give away. So you own the feeling. And then you just allow it to pass you. You deal with it. Gosh,
let me tell you something. I just got a revelation.
I love these revelations.
I just got a revelation.
Four threes in a row.
I know.
But
I need a timeout.
I need a timeout. Come on, coach.
Okay.
Come with it.
I have a revelation on your feelings. They don't want to be resident. They want to be travelers. And I think what happens with shame is that we allow those feelings to take hold and it breeds the shame.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Versus saying, I'm a sexual being. God created me this way. I feel this. That is normal. And it passes.
What you just said, God created me this way. And I tell people, especially Christians, God created you a sexual. Yes, he knew you was going to want to have sex when he made you. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, he made you with the sexual organs. And if you have a vulva, you probably have a clitoris. And the sole purpose,
the entire clitoris
is sexual pleasure. It has no other purpose.
It's just in there to be touched.
And other things
licked. People like it when you lick it.
People do.
They're like, oh my gosh, I like when you put your tongue on that thing.
They do.
It's like a doorbell for pleasure. Hello, I want to put this in.
But please don't be. Don't ring it.
You got to caress it. It's a different type of doorbell. You know what's crazy? I read that the clitoris has like 10 times the amount of pleasure sensors.
Double. 8,000 nerve endings in the clitoris, and the glands of the penis circumcised has 4,000. So
wait, do the math. I'm not good at fractions.
So it's a fraction.
More math.
So the clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings. Uh-huh. Penis head glands has 4,000.
Uh-huh. So it is double.
So it's meant for you to
feel pleasure.
God put it there just for that.
Just for that. That's it.
It don't pee. You can't pee out of it. Nothing.
You can't do anything except feel pleasure.
Why are you so annoyed?
That's crazy. Like, here's the thing that you just made me realize. Like, in a lot of relationships, women don't come nearly as much as men do.
And it's, oh my gosh, I want
to give them 90% of women don't.
70 to 90%
of women with people with clitoris.
I want to have another episode about
that. We call that an orgasm gap.
Is that every time or ever?
Ever.
Wow.
So they got God gave them double the nerve endings and they still ain't coming. He like, bro, I gave you double.
Right.
What y'all got to do?
Double for your trouble.
Mm. And we still can't find it? Not me. You feel let this feeling
let
sit. Let them know.
Passing.
It's still passing.
Passing.
I know what to do with the nerve endings.
It's passed.
You feel me? I don't need 8,000. Give me 37 of them endings, and I'm gonna go ahead and do what I gotta do.
37.
Give me 37 of them endings, and I got you. Don't need the whole 8,000.
Mercy.
We don't need the whole 8,000. See how she gets. She can't take it, Shamara.
Just 37.
Just 37 in this baby boy, and I got you.
That's a blessing.
That's all I need, 37 of them things. You feel me? Not 3,000, 37.
37.
Okay, I have a question. So women who have, or I'm kissing the mic.
You're thinking it's something
stop
else.
Stop it.
You're thinking it's something else. That's 4,000 right there in the mic. That's 4,000 of them things. She only need 12. Let me give 12. I don't know what you got to do with that thing. You feel me?
I always default to women, but I understand this can affect men as well. For like the good girl syndrome. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's like, and that breeds a lot of like shame and guilt and just all type of craziness. Absolutely. How do you recommend those type of women, myself included, overcome that to enter into exploration?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
That was a great question.
That was a good question.
Thank you.
So the good girl syndrome, that happens too when a lot of women are they don't have sex before marriage, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because they're seen as pure and whole, mm-hmm. and so people
and
are
it's
all
celebrated so
and
much.
It's celebrated, right?
Because Melissa was like literally like. Moms in the church would be like, well, Melissa's doing it. You look at her. She did it.
And you know what's interesting about that? I've been reading this book, Sex Conversations. Conversations in Conversations the Church Forgot Us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something like
that. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And I was on this chapter last night, and the lady was talking about how much it is celebrated, but it is not celebrated in the sense of, and this is what I've been on lately, not sexual purity, but sexual integrity. Mm-hmm. So it is making sure that whatever you're doing sexually lines up with your, like, moral value.
Absolutely.
And your compass. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessary, it doesn't demonize the act. It is about the choice because it lines up with what I believe. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times what happens, or at least for me and the way that I grew up, it was the act is bad.
Yeah.
And it's not the act that's bad. And that's what brings on the shame and the guilt and makes it hard.
And that's why people have to come on a green couch in my office and they're like, listen, okay, I was a virgin and we got married. And I was brought up in church. All I was told was, good job being a virgin. You didn't fornicate. You did see that. You're great. You're amazing. Mm-hmm. You're a great example for the kids. They used to tell me that at church too, y'all, because I grew up in the church too. So they found out I was having sex. That's a whole other thing. So
Shamar been on that thing. We heard about her.
They didn't find out until after I went to college. Anyway, they found out. So, you know, and it's, okay, we got married, we waited, we did everything they told us to do in church, and then we got home and we had sex on our honeymoon, right? And then we did it. We thought we did what we thought we were supposed to do.
Right.
And then we did it some more times. And so now it's been 7 months and I hate it. I don't like it. My partner doesn't like it. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know if we should get a divorce because I'm not doing my duties as a wife. I was praised for being this good person.
It becomes
person.
Part of who you
identify
are.
Yes. as. I was praised as being this good person, but I can't even please him sexually because I don't know what. And so it's after I do, now what?
And that's a book title.
Right. And that's what a lot of us.
I don't know.
I think there is a book called After I Do. But
now what? Church,
but now what? I don't think they have that part.
Josh, copyright it now. Let's write it.
Let's write it. But I think that's the part that the church religion is forgetting, right? We're forgetting.
We stop at the altar.
So after I get married, now what? What am I supposed to do now? And so now I've got this identity as this good girl, and it's, but that's really not helping me in my marriage and my sexuality because I don't know what I'm doing. And I feel like I can't do this because now it's like I've gotten married, but you can't just shut that stuff off after you say I do. I still have these same messages that, you know, it's shameful, it's sinful, it's this. So how do I dismantle that?
Immediately that skill set is useless. It's harmful.
Harmful.
It is literally harmful. The next moment it's like, okay, now, and you've built up, Melissa, and we were only 20. She was only 20 when we got married. Imagine if you're 30, 35.
Yep.
Or you haven't had sex for 10, 15 years. Like, that shame that you let set in, you know, the Big Mouth, they have a character called the Shame Wizard, and his whole thing is to shame people. It's a terrible show, but also amazing. But that same skill set is useless. It's harmful now.
It's harmful.
But you don't, there's very few books or podcasts or anything to tell you how to get out of that. And then the people who had sex prior to marriage are like shunned. So you're kind of like in no man's land. Like, well, I don't know what to do.
Exactly.
I
only know what not to do. And that's what's happening in marriages.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I just know what not to do. And so because I know that I know what not to do, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Like,
I'm going to go with what's comfortable.
Never had sex and sex was wrong. And then your husband is like, hey, I want to have oral sex. And you're like, hold on.
That's a whole other thing.
I remember one lady in our church. It was funny. We were having a conversation about sex in marriage enrichment. And she said, you know, her husband was like, well, I want, you know, have oral sex. And she was like, if God would want me to put that thing in my mouth, he wouldn't have given me teeth. I was like,
gotta cover your teeth, baby.
What? What are you talking about? A lot of things you eat without teeth. You eat applesauce without teeth. Like, you don't want to.
What are you just swallowing?
You drink juice without teeth.
Yeah.
But that people would like hang on to those like euphemisms.
Absolutely.
And like, oh, well, I guess that's wrong. You know, that's ungodly. That's an abomination.
But you people hold on to that and it becomes so ingrained in what you believe.
Absolutely.
So that when you're confronted with it, you're even if, and this is what happens, and this honestly is how I feel like brainwashing works, is that even when confronted with truth, you have been so ingrained to believe the opposite that you can't grasp
it. That's cognitive dissonance.
Ooh.
You can't grasp it. Right. You don't even want to go there because this is what I know. Even when somebody says, you know, here's the truth about that, but this is what I've always known. This is more comfortable for me, even though it's uncomfortable. Mm. This is what's most comfortable for me because I don't have to learn something else.
Yes. And it doesn't go against, it's comfortable because it doesn't go against who I am, what I believe. Like, I don't have to challenge. Mm-hmm. And some of these things, it's not like, oh, I just learned this last year. This is stuff when you were five and six and seven. So
deeply
you're
ingrained.
Yes, it's deeply ingrained. And you mean to tell me I need to go back to my childhood and unravel all of that?
You do.
Child, that's a lot of work.
Yes.
I don't want to. It's just way more comfortable to hold on to what I believe in. Mm-hmm. And then you end up with one of your spouses being unhappy sexually because they do want to do more and the other partner is stuck in this, is stuck in a box. And sometimes you're like, I do wish I could do more, but it's so hard because I feel like it's against everything I've been taught to believe.
And that's like, me and Melissa talk about this a lot. The show Westworld, they have robots and these robots had like core programming. Mm-hmm. And it was like, as much as they changed the outward things, like they could never change their core programming. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time that purity stuff, that is like, that was part of Melissa's core programming.
It's definitely.
I am a pure girl. I am a good girl. So when you get married and in our relationship, I wasn't a virgin. And I was just, the Lord had to deal with me on some things. Amen. I'm out there so my core programming had nothing to do with purity because being a man, to be quite honest, having sex was celebrated. Mm-hmm. Even when in church, like nobody ridiculed me. All my boys was like, you know, pushing me to do that. It was the opposite for women.
Absolutely.
So now you have somebody who's had sex prior to marriage and has had some crazy sex, not crazy sexual experience, but has done more stuff than missionary, so mm-hmm. to speak. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, I'm getting married and I'm just like, man, when I was in high school, we used to, you know, we were 15, 16 doing crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Now I'm married and we ain't really even doing like nothing.
Right.
So,
yeah, right.
You know, if say two people are getting married and they both are not virgins, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to have different sexual experience. So all that type of stuff goes into, we talked about this before about how I can see why God wanted people to wait till they get married mm-hmm. because now you can build your sexual experiences are all built together.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you're not necessarily comparing.
Absolutely.
But now you have to build your sexual history.
Yep.
And you're starting from literally the ground. Actually, in Melissa's case, it wasn't even like a baseline. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She was starting from way back here, and this is the beginning of sex, and here's like, sex is bad, sex is wrong.
Well, that's where everyone starts.
You think so?
Everyone starts, because you go back to where you first learned, and I do sexual histories on everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever they come in with sexual problems, and I need to know, like, what did you learn about sex? How was sex talked about in your home? What was the messaging about sex? Mm. Your first, do you remember masturbating for the first time? What was that like? What are the messages around that? What is religion? You know, and so that helps to give me an idea of the sexual messages that people are carrying around. And you, and when you come in and you're sexually repressed, which most of us are sexually repressed in some
sexually
way,
repressed.
When you come in and you're sexually
buzzwords.
Repressed,
she's killing
you gotta go back. Yes. Like, you've gotta go back to where that started, and we've gotta start dismantling all of these messages. We've gotta start breaking it down and showing you that you're worthy, you're a sexual being, it's okay to feel like this. Your body is designed to experience pleasure. Pleasure is your birthright, literally. Mm. So
pleasure is your birthright?
It's your birthright.
Come on in here.
And you know what? I heard that on so many levels.
Yeah.
Birthright. Mm, that made me all tingly. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm literally going to remember that. Not tingly like that, child. Tingly like goosebumps, like I heard
over.
A message.
Bye, Josh. Bye, Shamira. Get the blue chew. Ask is canceled. The birthright is promised. Esau, Jacob, porridge.
Porridge.
What y'all gonna do with
Beef
the porridge?
Stew. That was.
Oh.
Thank you guys. That's been a great episode. We'll see y'all next time. Shamira's at Shamira something on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
Follow her. She listens to us. Bye, 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 bye. Bye, bye, bye. Before she changes her mind. Before she changes her mind.
Flipping over chairs. Go.
I don't want to cry my makeup. Okay, so what I heard when you said pleasure is a birthright, more than sexual in that you're worthy to receive pleasure in all it, because it ends up being something that's compounded.
Yeah.
It is not just an isolated, I struggle with sex. It's like these feelings of worthiness that extend in all areas of your life. And even when I think about my own like journey to
I looked out the window. I thought it was an animal at first.
I didn't. I saw a person. I was about to be ready.
Me too.
I was ready.
Jamiah about to pull the hammer out. You know I'm from that 504. I can let that thing fly. I'm going to let that thing sing.
Let me tell you why I know I'm the first person to die in a horror movie. Because I'm here. So I saw him here and I was just like, stuck. Completely useless.
This is why black people be dying in the scary movie. You frozen. I'm like, what's up?
Everybody's geared for action, and I've seen him 10 say I should have been
doing
this.
Josh took the headphones off. He could be whatever. I ain't planning on fighting.
Literally, like, someone's in here. We're about to die, and I'm just watching.
He gonna kill you with a net? It just came to clean the pool. Why do you have the net? Take the leaves out of it.
See, this is why y'all podcast
is off the
chain.
This is real life. This is what happens. Yes. So anyway, when
just
I think
a pool
about
guy, guys. It's just a poor guy.
So when I think about my own journey to self love, and honestly, it ended up ending with sex. Mm-hmm. It ended up ending with me going on. I called it like a sex me over campaign, and it was me diving into. Sex me over.
Creativity.
Oh. Why are we stopping, Shamar? No. Y'all.
Nothing to do with the
people
episode.
People of the Love Hour. Me and Melissa and Josh are. Melissa doesn't believe she's creative. Okay. So before we started shooting this episode, I was telling her, you've written a book that's creative. You creatively produce this podcast. This is creative. You have the vision for a conference. You speak. Mm. She creates all the Love Hour podcast imagery on the Instagram, and her Instagram is
zooming
not just pictures.
Face,
right.
It's not just pictures. So she believes that she is not creative, yet she creates all this content every single day. And we were telling her off camera, these campaigns are creative.
Yeah.
All this is creative. But listen, like, it's not art.
All the tour content?
All the tour content is creative.
What tour
Josh, is Josh not creative when he takes a picture?
No, Josh, that is art.
All he's doing is taking a picture.
Hey, man. Okay, can we go back to my back?
People tell Melissa. Here's what I think, Shamara. This really has nothing to do with sex.
Okay.
In my professional opinion.
Where did you get your degree from?
I got it from IAintGotNoSchool.com.
That's a good one.
Melissa does not want to give herself credit for how good she is at something. So she always seeks to minimize her involvement and minimize what she brings to the table.
It's repression.
It's repressing her. Now, me, I don't even got to be as creative. I'm out here. I'm the funniest. I'm the
everything.
Best. But I don't have to do it. She's actually doing stuff. And instead of owning it. But the crazy thing is she owned it at her job. I'm a great toss. I'm a great assistant manager. I'm great at, you know, aerospace. But now that she's creating content and people tell her every day how much they love the podcast, how much they love her recommendations, she doesn't accept that praise for her creativity.
Okay, are we done?
Nah, own your creativity.
Own it.
Because I'm so confused as to why I am on a PIP right
because
now.
Because this is a podcast and we don't have no producer to tell us what to do.
I'm the producer.
We need you for this business to succeed. To accept your creativity and walk in your purpose.
Come on, walk.
Because all that repression is not going to help us.
I hired Shamira, I brought Shamira in because I thought she would be on my time.
I am on your side.
And this whole time,
absolutely me being on your side.
Like,
yes,
she walked in and gave me a nice goodie bag with these delicious cookies, and then was like,
"Flyrings."
She's on the right side of right. You got to encourage you. Because when you become confident in this, then the books are going to flow. The merchandise is going to flow. The other conferences is going to flow. But if you repress it the same way you did your sexuality stuff, then you're repressing your own creativity.
Are you getting me falling down? You scared to fail.
We need you to get up.
I ain't scared to
get up,
Tabitha.
Hello. That is what
Get up, Tabitha. That's that message.
It was that message.
Get up, creative
Melissa. Okay, we're done here. Okay.
Melissa, like, next.
Next. Okay. Thank you, next. So anyways, the point is, and low-key what you're saying is kind of tying to this, is that I've always struggled with feelings of worthiness in so many areas of my life.
One more time. Hold on. Let me show Myra. When Melissa went to school in high school, okay, she ran track. I went to every single track meet her junior and senior year. This girl didn't lose no races in 300 hurdles until the state championships.
Why are we talking about
in
that?
In the district. No, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to get to my point. Okay. In the district championships, the girl who ran the 100 for them got hurt. So the coach was like, hey, Melissa, you want to run the 100? And she was like, oh, sure. She wins the district championship for the 100 with, I mean, just ran the 100 and won. Okay? Just out of nowhere. The college was trying to recruit her to the track team. And she was like, I'm trash at track. They were like, well, we saw you were district champion in the 100. And we see your times in the newspaper for the 300. Like, you are running as fast as girls on the team. She never even tried.
She never even tried
to get a scholarship. She made herself worse. And the coaches are looking at the times. They're like,
she didn't want to.
I know. Because she was scared.
Yeah, there might be a little facts to that.
But you gotta stop that.
Okay, are we done on me?
Oh, this is some good support over here.
He is.
I'm trying to be that emotional also security for her emotional vulnerability, but she ain't letting the player play.
You heard that for real.
Oh, that was great.
There was.
I want to go back to that, Josh. That's got to be a clip because I think that is so important. And that's what I was missing with you.
Mm.
When you were being vulnerable with me, you weren't being seen or heard or valued. And I didn't realize that because in my mind, to support you, as long as I'm not mean to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not cheating on you.
Yep.
I am supporting you.
Let me tell you, that is huge. Because a lot of people think that, like, as long as I'm not cheating on you, I'm mm-hmm. paying all the bills, and I'm here for you, I'm supporting you. What else do you need?
Yes.
Right?
Literally
that's
here.
What society tells us. But, like, there are things that your partner does that they're vying for your affection and attention
yes.
every day. You know, can you take the trash out for me? Can you give me some water? Mm-hmm. Can you do this? And when you respond to that positively, and you show them that, okay, yeah, I'll do that for you, I'll do that, that's when...
It's laying the ground.
The yolks are burst.
Ooh, I think that is so true. And I think a lot of times, one of my favorite, like all-time favorite compliments that I receive from women is when they say, thank you for articulating what I was feeling and I didn't know how to say. I've read
books.
So what
do you mean? You created a feeling in them that they didn't recognize?
No, I didn't create a feeling in them.
You said
the
something so clearly that you let them tap into their feelings, but that's not creative? Cool. No, it's fine.
Aww.
Let's keep going.
This is okay. Good.
Let's keep going this because she's not great. Creative. I don't know how she can say something so eloquently that people are like, that's what I'm feeling. And you could put that in a book and they'd read that and understand it. But that's not creative. Let's keep going. I don't want to hold the podcast.
Thank you. So the point is that... a lot of times when we're asking for things or doing things, we don't even realize we're like reaching out and mm-hmm. wanting mm-hmm. you to do this. And, you know, on a subconscious level, it's like setting the groundwork for how safe I feel with you.
Yes.
Or, you know what I mean? You don't even realize that. And then when someone said, like you just said, we're doing this and we're vying for your attention and we're, you know, this is almost this is that, you're like, I was doing
yes.
that.
Yes.
I didn't even realize it. And so when he did this or he responded that way, it made me feel.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, everybody has like all of these light bulbs going off.
Feelings, like the feelings are everything.
Yes.
They are indicators. I can't remember what you said earlier, but it's so true that your feelings are an indication of what's going on.
Yeah, they're and your guides to tell you what's going on.
That's what
yeah,
you said. They're your guides to tell you what's going on. And sometimes I know for me, I've had these feelings and I'm like, I don't really know what that means. I don't really, mm-hmm. like I know I feel slighted in this moment. Mm. I know my feelings are hurt in this moment, but you don't always have the language
yep.
to articulate clearly this is what's going on. And I think also that's why I want to do like the science background behind it, because I know I tend to be introspective. So at this point in my life, I am able, and I've read enough books to be honest too, where I'm able to like piece together, okay, so I feel like this because of this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that language, you just end up having an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
I don't know what's wrong with yes. me, but I know my feelings are hurt. And because my feelings are hurt and you're not responding the way I want you to, I'm just about to give you the whole shoulder.
I'm going to stonewall you.
Yeah, I'm going to stonewall you.
Yep. And but when we talk about our feelings and we talk about what we have to talk about what we need. So when we're communicating our feelings to each other, yesterday, when you said that, I felt real slighted by you, like we weren't on the same team.
Mm.
Those
are good words.
In the future, when we're talking to each other, can you clarify what you mean for me so that I won't feel like we're not on the same team?
I got an example of that. Melissa, there was a time maybe a couple months ago, right? I would say something to her, and she'd be like, what? like that. Like she would scrunch her face up like, what? And I, like, she did it for like 10, 15 times. So I, one day I stopped her and I was like, when you make that face like that, you, it makes me feel like I am bothering you.
Yes.
You're disrespecting me. Mm. Like, it makes me feel like you don't hear what I have to say. And she was like, no, she, I literally just cannot hear you.
Right. She probably didn't.
And I'm literally trying to like hear you. So I was like, oh, you really can't hear. Like, literally. You know what I mean? So now, and she still does it, but now
I've gotten so much better.
You've gotten so much better. She's gotten so much better. But now I can, process that as, instead of it, you know, yes, saying it's anger or disrespect, I take her word at face value,
yep,
and I give her, okay, and now I don't take offense to it.
Absolutely.
And then she also worked on it because it was coming across like that. We've been talking a lot about how your intentions aren't always received that way. So what you just said is so important of like, just saying, because a lot of times people don't know.
All right, right, exactly. And leading with your feelings. Like, I had a situation the other night, right before it was time for me to come here. My husband fries food, right? I don't like to fry stuff. He stopped, but he was going to fry some fish outside because, like, I don't like the food being fried inside.
Inside, yeah.
Because it gets all in your clothes and in my hair. And I'm like, look, I'm about to go do this podcast, so you can't fry the food in here because they're going to smell me and I'm going to be sitting up and that smell like fish. And I don't want to be smelling like fish, right?
I'm a sexologist and I smell like fish. You know it's going to be weird. You're like, no, she smells like fish. So. No,
she's not credible,
that's
y'all.
That's the last thing I need.
She got something going on. She's smelling like fish. So I'm sitting in the room doing what I do, my work on the computer, and I start smelling fish. And I get so mad. Like, I start getting hot because when I get mad, I get mad.
Yeah,
I started getting hot and he came in and asked me something and he was like, what's wrong? And I was like, nothing. Right. So then I was like, Shamara, you know, cause I talk to myself.
Shamara, yes.
I'm like, Shamara, you know, this is not right. You know, he doesn't know what's going on. So he came back in and he said something else to me. And I said, you know, I just really need to tell you that I'm really mad that you fried the fish in the house after we talked about it, because now, and I should have known, or I would have liked to know, so I could have taken my stuff out of the house.
Right, right, right.
Right. And so he was like, oh man, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you that when I went to the store, I didn't get enough stuff, so I couldn't fry it outside. And I was like, okay, I understand, but I wish I would have known. I just, you know, and that was that. And I felt better after I told him my feeling. And then he put a towel by He put a towel by the door.
He tried.
He tried. But that was powerful. And
absolutely.
We didn't, because what that could have done, me saying nothing, stonewalling him, not allowing him in, creating necessary discord that when you just say your feelings, it changes situations. So sexual exploration.
Okay. So this is going to be uncomfortable for Melissa.
Okay.
But I want to talk about this.
Well, y'all done. That's why my face was shining because I was
so
hot.
Yeah, it's a safe space.
Okay, go.
So you mentioned masturbation earlier about like how does your family talk about it and how does your religion play in it. So we listen to a lot of podcasts, marriage ones, Christian or not. When they talk about comfortability with sex, especially women, they almost always recommend masturbation. Almost always.
Every time.
Because they're like, how can you tell your husband what you like if you don't know it? In the black church that we grew up in, masturbation, ultimate sin, do not do it, spilling seed. They never really had a scripture that they cited for women. Like, spilling seed was always masturbation for men.
Oh, they're right.
There's no scripture that's like women, you know, dropping petals. There's just nothing.
Dropping petals?
Well, I don't know.
I like it.
But spilling, when I was a kid and I asked about masturbation, they were like, it's spilling seed. You're spilling seed. So later on, I did more research and it was basically that scripture was more about in that time period, if I'm the older brother and I die, it was my younger brother's responsibility to impregnate my wife to keep the family going. Spilling seed was pulling out.
Yeah.
So to have sex with her, but not to get her pregnant.
Yep.
But we use that scripture to say, don't masturbate because you're spilling seed. Your seed is your little spermians.
Yeah.
Semen's not going in a vulva.
Spermian is semen, sperm.
So anyway.
Got it.
How, as a Christian, you're a Christian licensed, you're Christian and you're also a sexologist,
I'm not
right?
Christian.
You're not Christian.
No,
okay.
I was raised Christian.
Oh, we're going to pray that thing right back over you. We're going to get you back to that Jesus that you need to know.
Okay. I never said I didn't know Jesus.
No, you said you ain't no Christian no more. The podcast's over just because I wanted to have sex. No. So anyway, so I imagine you counsel a lot of Christians.
I do.
So how do you, what is your thought process on that? And the reason why, because we haven't talked about this on the podcast ever, but there's a lot of mainly white Christians who talk openly about masturbation for men, for women, whether you're married or single. And we haven't talked about this because we know a lot of people be like feeling a certain type of way. But a lot of Christian podcasts talk about the importance of masturbation, even within your marriage, for the reasons previously mentioned. So what are your thoughts on that for a couple with exploration? Because in our marriage, I don't know if you want me to...
You're here now.
Melissa be like, fam, I cannot do it. I don't want to touch myself. I don't like. I don't feel comfortable. And I understand it. Absolutely. Right? But I'm just like, that's fine. But when we're having sex, tell me this feels good, that doesn't. Ooh, harder, good. Softer, slower. Like, I need some feedback. Because I'm out here, I don't know. That's why I need 37 endings.
37.
If you would talk to me, I'd give you 10 or 12. You feel me? We'd be in and out of there. But since you ain't really giving me nothing, I'm
if you watched her do it, you would have 50.
Just two endings. If I were to watch, I say, hey, give me the same way you show me how you want the tub clean. She don't mind telling me how to do anything else in the world.
Hello.
Here's how I want the bathroom cleaned. Here's how I want the towels folded. Here's how I want the bed folded. Should I touch you? I don't know. Don't just talk to me about it.
Just do your just thing.
Just do some
it
stuff.
It is good girl syndrome.
It is.
That's what it is.
It is.
It's good girl syndrome. It's all of that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my thing is, what do you say to people like Melissa? Because there's a lot of women out there.
There's a lot of women.
So many women.
We not know. Her. It's you guys.
It's not y'all. Not me.
She's our resident expert.
There's so many women who have these issues, right? And when we're talking about being sexually explorative, that's one of the things I recommend is masturbation. And I ask people, do you masturbate? And whenever I ask a lot of people who are women if they masturbate, they're like, nah. The men are like, yeah, I do it. The women, yeah. How often? Maybe every day, you know. But when I ask women, a lot of times they're like, no, not really. Some of them will say yeah. They'll say no. And I've heard so many different responses from it's gross, it's dirty, I don't like the way it touch. I don't, the way it feels. I don't like the way it looks. I was told not to do that. I don't know how to do it. You know, it's uncomfortable. All types of messages. So I like to find out why people don't want to do it. And a lot of times it's because of shame, right? A lot of times, you know, when we think about sexual pleasure, historically, sexual pleasure wasn't for women. It was for men, right?
Presently.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like women weren't supposed to get any, even though we're the ones with the clitoris.
Yeah.
Women weren't supposed to get any sexual pleasure.
It's the colored purple sex. That's what I always talk about. Silly is just there.
You're just there to let him do his business.
Climb on top of you and sweat it out and then done.
And guess what?
Yeah.
Our churches sometimes teach us that in a way where they tell us, you know, your body is for your husband.
100% right? Concur.
And it's like, okay, my body's for my husband. What I'm supposed to do? You're supposed to know what to do with me. And so I hear that from a lot of people, like, why don't you know? And when I tell them, like, it's your choice whether or not you want to masturbate or not. But let's talk about the reasons and let's deal with the reasons why you don't. Because a lot of that is rooted in shame. A lot of that is rooted in guilt and the messages that we've received, right? So let's go there, and then let's talk about what masturbation is and why we masturbate and how it feels. It's pleasurable, first of all, and then you get to learn more about yourself, right? I do this exercise with women where I tell them to have a V date. I do it with men too. It's a P date, where you have a V date, right? And this is sexually explorative. So when I talk about later in the podcast, I'll give you other options about how you can be sexually explorative, but this is a way for you to be sexually explorative solo. You get a mirror, a handheld mirror. Like that one or smaller, right? No, I'm not going to do it on here.
No, I was going to say to Melissa.
Oh, yeah, Melissa, you can do it.
Just hold it. Just get familiar like with the this. Idea.
Yeah, but it could be a smaller handheld mirror, right? Okay. After you've taken your shower, your bath, whatever, your hands are clean.
You're clean.
You're naked. Okay. You get this mirror.
Song.
And you put it right between your legs where your vulva is. And you look. You have a V date. You look at it. You separate your labias. You touch them in different areas to see how it feels, what it feels like, the different textures. You might even realize that the labia minora, the smaller labia,
the baby lips
almost feel like cheek, the inside of your cheek. It's the same cells, right? It's the inside cheek. Inside of the vagina.
I love all of the cells, right? Biographies.
She's putting the mirror down.
I am
too much.
So
she's getting hot.
No, I'm not. I'm actually. I want to make sure I'm.
You want
cleaning definitely. All of this
you
information.
You want to look at it, right? You want to feel
interesting.
It.
Just look at it.
Just look.
Because you were telling me one time.
I'm just about to say.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say this. I did tell you this like the first conversation that we had.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to debate how much I actually want to share of this right now, but I'll just say this. I was experimenting with feminine products.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that I was experimenting with requires you to be quite comfortable with your body, and specifically the vagina area. And I was struggling to put this thing in like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. And it was because I was so finicky with touching myself.
So many people are.
And I had this revelation and I was like, Melissa, first of all, you're married. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you've had a pap smear several times. You've had children. You've had C-sections. You've done, you get waxed. Like, you've done all of
you
these
get
different
waxed.
Things.
And all literally. Of those
somebody is like, all right, open up your butt.
Exactly. Right. And the thing is,
strangers.
Literally.
In your butt.
They are strangers. Literally. And that's the point. Like, yes, I know my husband, but the when I had my C-section, it was emergency C-section. Mm-hmm. Whoever was on staff did it. I didn't know them. Mm-hmm. When I go and get waxed, hi, how are you? Oh, okay, pants off.
Yeah.
Like, literally,
pants off, legs up. No time.
No time.
Pants
you know
off,
what I mean?
Legs up.
You move to a new city. Hi, doctor, I need a pap smear. Great. Pants down.
Hands down.
Put your feet
open.
Up on the stirrups. All right, we're moving on. Is this cold? And I'm like,
yes, it's freezing.
Literally.
It's cold.
Like, literally.
Yes, literally.
And I'm like, why? The I don't even know the right
audacity.
Word. The audacity. I don't even know if that's the right word. But
no, the
this,
audacity for you to be more comfortable with a stranger
is,
than yourself.
Exactly. And not
the unmitigated
just
gall.
The idea of allowing someone else
yes.
to touch me and feel no problem about it. Mm-hmm. And I feel this like shame associated with, and I wasn't even doing it for pleasure, child. I was just trying to insert the thing so I could go on about my
Absolutely.
Life. And I was having so much struggle with this for a while. And recently I had this revelation and I was like, do better.
Mm-hmm.
Do better because number one, I deserve better, but also because it is my body.
Yeah, it's your body. Absolutely.
It is my body.
And how can you
and
tell
how,
somebody? Yeah.
What you like.
If you don't know, I've taught women how to masturbate. Like, when I say that, I don't mean like I literally taught
like, all right, pull it down. No. Nah, you're too rough
but,
around the edges. Softer. Circular motion.
To the left. Right there.
It's like a DJ. You want to...
Don't do that, y'all. Don't do that. But I've taught a lot of women how to masturbate or to masturbate, especially when they say, I've never orgasmed before. And I'm like, do you masturbate? And they're like, no. Like, after we assess for all other issues, we talk about masturbation. And I've heard this so many times. I just thought because watching porn and watching TV, you know, which like we'll talk about that later. But they just think that the orgasm is going to come as a result of whatever their partner
friction.
Is doing. Just friction.
Just
like,
sheer friction.
Oh, because that's what it looks like. It just, no, you've got to go get it. Yes. You got to go get your orgasm.
Mary.
You got to
go get it. Go
get
it.
You got to go get that thing.
Get
go
your blessed.
You got to go get your blessed. No,
Mary's
literally,
like, don't use our song for that. Right.
No, they might not mind. But you've got to go get it. Like,
own your sexuality.
Is your business. Your pleasure is your business. It's up to you. Your orgasm is your business. It's not your partner's business.
And you know
it's
what?
It's not his responsibility to give you an orgasm. You are supposed to be the one to say,
hold on,
this.
What?
It's not.
It's not me. It's on you.
Issue.
Okay.
No, literally.
But here's
literally,
the interesting thing, though. In patriarchal society.
Oh, come on with this word. This
yes.
Is come
yes.
on.
We
it's about
know,
to be good.
As a man, they're not taught to please your woman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're taught to
get
your
you
nut off.
And go. Yep.
Whatever. And when sex ends, when the man finishes.
Absolutely.
In movies, it's
it
reinforced from that.
Not.
A lot of people don't watch porn, but you watch movies, you watch Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. It ends when the guy, oh, mm-hmm. and he
and
rolls
it.
Over.
And he
that's when sex ends. They never show the man making the woman orgasm.
Right. Absolutely.
It begins and ends with where the man wants
begins
it to be.
Begins and ends with the male. And that's not how we want to have sex. We don't want sex to just be this thing that happens for men, and it's just for men. It's not for us. And when they orgasm, it's over. Bam, done.
Right.
You know, we want to, and we'll talk about that when we get further into sexual exploration, but it's for both of us.
Right? Mm-hmm.
It's not just for you. And if you want to have an orgasm, you got to learn how to touch yourself, figure out your pleasure points, understand how your clitoris works. It's not just what you see. Your clitoris extends 4 inches up to into your body.
Oh,
so
wow.
a masturbation will help you to realize that when you are stimulating the clitoris, the inner clitoris is the part you don't see. It looks like a wishbone, right? You know how a wishbone looks? It has the legs, it extends up about 4 inches. And so when you are massaging your clitoris, depending on the pressure points and all of that, you're massaging the inner clitoris. And that's why many women or most women are orgasmic only with clitoral stimulation, because of, you know, the friction from the clitoris. So if you want to orgasm, you got to touch yourself more, right? You got to see what you like, what feels good. And we got to get rid of that shame around.
And like, the penis, just P and G doesn't stimulate that section.
Yeah.
Right. It's I don't know the part that it's going into, but what in my extensive research, that penis, that motion, I've asked Melissa, she was like, what does that feel like? And she was like, nothing really.
Yeah. Right.
Like you can feel the pressure and the motion, but like, as far as like a positive sensation,
right.
She was like, there's really nothing. Like I like that you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But as far as for me, like, I don't physically feel something like the way you physically feel from that same motion.
That's why it's important whenever you are having PMV sex, the person with the penis or the your partner, you use, this is being sexually explorative as well, you stimulate the clitoris at the same time that you're providing penetration. Mm-hmm. So your partner is more likely to orgasm if you are providing clitoral stimulation along with the penetration. Okay. So that could be with a sex toy. That could be with your hand, her hand, but whatever.
Don't worry about it. You can tell
them. No, I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I was going to say something else.
Okay.
But, you know, you want to stimulate the clitoris at the same time that you're penetrating. You don't want to just, you know, we don't want that, right?
Yeah.
That's just bumping uglies.
He's nuts. I have a question, or not a question, but I wanted you to get into your other, because now I'm like anxious to hear your other steps
for sexual exploration. Yes.
So the first step is a P date.
A P date or a V date.
Okay. And how does that end? I don't know if we just finished.
Okay, so how that ends, it doesn't have to end in orgasm. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing.
This is education.
This is just
education and familiarity.
Yeah. I actually think that at least for me, education is always my first step in anything transformative. Mm-hmm. I have to learn and educate and know for myself. And then from there, I can like move forward in that truth. But I have to educate myself.
Know
so I love that.
You engage.
Yes. Okay, absolutely. Keep going. What are your other steps?
So let's talk about sexual exploration. First, before you can even be sexually explorative in a relationship, there has to be some type of connection between you and your partner. There has to be intimacy there. There has to be the want to be sexually explorative from both people or from all people in the relationship. You got to have Bovia.
Okay.
You got to tell Bovia to come into the relationship.
What's Bovia?
So this,
is that an acronym?
Yes.
Okay.
That's something I made up.
Okay. I was like should I have known that?
I went back to women's studies and I'm like, is this fluid?
This is a doctor?
I don't know.
So let's say you're already in a relationship, right? And you're intimate. You have intimacy there. So you're being seen, heard, valued. You have a partner who's emotionally responsive to you. You're able to be there. You know, they're there, right?
Okay.
You've got to have, whenever you say, okay, let's explore our sexualities together, right? You got to have boundaries because you can't, you know, you might not want to be sexual with this pole. You might want to. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about what boundaries are. Like, you have to have boundaries. You have to have that openness and that positivity about sex, the thoughts that it's okay, it's safe, it's pleasurable, it's desirable. I get satisfaction out of this, right? You have to have vulnerability. Yeah, because you can't be sexually explorative if you're not vulnerable, right? You've got to be vulnerable. You got to be able to be raw and open.
Definitely got to be raw.
Pun intended.
Me and Shamar are more friends than you and her.
I know. No. So then there's intimacy, right? Because you've got to, and when I say intimacy, I mean you have to have a secure bond outside the bedroom. You cannot have... A lot of people think if we have good sex, we're going to have a good relationship. And it's actually the opposite. If you have a good relationship.
I have said that without saying that.
Yes.
Facts.
Melissa, if you have a good relationship outside of the bedroom, it's going to go down.
In go the down
love
in
over
the
last
down.
Year.
It's going to go down in the down. Bedroom, right? Because that means there's, you know, you're being seen, you're being heard, you're being valued. You like to do things outside of the bedroom with each other. You probably are dating each other. You're attending to each other's needs, wants. Mm-hmm. You're soothing, all of that good stuff, right? So that's the intimacy part. And then emotional openness, right? Mm. You've got to be ready to be emotionally open so that you can be able to say, okay, this is what I feel. This is what I like, right? And then the A, right? Bovia, right? There has to be some type of aftercare ritual. And a lot of people don't realize that this is what this bridges the gap between now and the next time we have sex, right? Mm. So there needs to be some type of aftercare ritual. And this is before you start being sexually explorative. And even just in your everyday sexual activity with each other, you want to have some type of aftercare ritual. Now, those Christians who are into BDSM, you already know what aftercare is in the BDSM world. And tell us. BDSM, basically.
That's we're 50 not Shades of Grey, right? Hmm? 50 Shades of Grey type stuff.
Yeah,
that's I mean, how like people, highly visualized.
Yeah. Highly visualized.
It stands for
It stands for bondage, discipline, dominance, and submission. And basically, it's just a set of fetish plays and practices, power play and stuff like that, that maybe many people adapt with different dynamics.
What's happening?
We have any?
It's this.
Yes, this, right? This. You know, when you want.
When we saw that in the box, we were like, we don't do that.
Oh, and yes, y'all can do that. It's so. But anyway, so aftercare rituals, okay. Right? That means what? How are you bonding after sex? Because like Kev just said, you know, afterwards, you get yourself off, and then it's turnover, go to sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just gone.
Hold me.
It's hold me. You know, it's beyond the cuddling in it. It's like, what are you doing to connect with each other afterwards? This isn't the time to talk about what that session was like. Oh, you really put it down. You know, you're definitely good. You can do that. But
right.
Or I really didn't like it. You want to wait until maybe the next day to talk about your likes, dislikes. But your aftercare rituals. Some people are already doing aftercare rituals and they don't know it. Like, you might eat a sandwich afterwards. You might drink some tea. Mm. You might watch some comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, you might. What are you doing?
These are acts
bond?
That are immediately after.
Right. After you get the towel and stuff like that, right? Or the shower or whatever.
I definitely thought you meant get the towel. I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to be wrong. That's exactly what I thought you meant. So I'm glad you said it.
You know, it's whatever you do to bond with each other afterwards, for a few minutes afterwards, where you're not just saying wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Gotcha.
Right? So ways that you can be sexually explorative, right? And this varies per couple. Mm-hmm, you know, you just have to, you want to
be open. No one size fits all.
No one size fits all. And you create your own relationship. But there's several different ways. There's, you know, you want to make sure there's some eroticism in your relationship. Mm. And so when I say eroticism, the first, what comes to your mind when you hear eroticism? Erotic.
Porn.
I thought of porn.
Everybody,
too.
Whenever I say erotic or eroticism, the first thing that comes to people's mind is porn, right? But eroticism is anything that is sexually arousing or stimulating to you in that way.
It's my random makeout sections.
Yeah, we got it right. To do them.
Eroticism can be that. It could be that. Okay. It could be, you know, whatever you consider to be sexually arousing, right? That might end in sex or orgasm, right? So it can be porn. That's erotic for a lot of people. And that's why I recommend porn. To be sexually explorative, more of the amateur type of porn, right? To be sexually explorative because it's erotic. It provides erotic stimulation, not for education. We're not learning anything. Right. We're just using this for stimulation. You can read erotica, go to sex stores, visit the sex stores together.
We went to one in Vegas and Melissa was like, it's so hot in here. It was 55 degrees in that store. She was sweating.
Get hot when she I get nervous.
Sweating bullets.
She get nervous, she get hot.
Yeah, she's like, there's people in here. I'm like, it's just the workers. Just, I don't like it. I want to leave now. I'm leaving.
Just go. You don't even have to buy anything. Go talk about what you see, and maybe you might go back next time and you might come out with some floggers. But if you want some good floggers, call me, because the ones in the sex stores aren't that really good. Depends on where you go. But you know, you want to what else you could do? You could read erotica to each other. I like having sex in a mirror, looking at yourselves having sex.
Man.
That's erotic. Having sex in a mirror, right?
That's
recording yourself.
Look at Melissa
having sex, right?
What? You say that?
Yes, definitely. And watch it.
Record. What about nudes? What do you think about people?
Sending, this is the thing. Sexting your partner is good. Sending nudes, sending things that you know your partner's going to like, that can be
totally trolled after the last episode, by
Never
the way.
Seen The Righteous Forsaken, nor We're seen
the
Breaking
last
Bad.
Episode.
I have a send nudes campaign.
He has a send nudes.
Basically, I'm trying to get. I send my nudes.
I just sent my husband some nudes.
Oh, I can't.
Because you're gone from
because
him.
Because I'm gone.
That's what I was telling her. I had 5 shows last week, Shamara.
Yep.
I was cold and
naked. I've only been gone for 10 minutes.
And you said, let me leave you with something to remember.
Let me sow the seed.
Melissa was FaceTiming me yesterday, or when I was in Sacramento, or wherever, on the show this weekend. She was like, hey, can you figure this thing out on the computer? I had the phone on my balls. I said, I fixed her thing. I told her. And then I was like, hey, look at my face. And she looked, she was like, Kevin. I was like, what are you much. Doing? I look at my penis.
I wasn't ready.
Look at it. It's ready. And it was like completely like this merch thing. It was so unrelated to sex.
She wasn't ready.
She was just it was like 3 o'clock. She was like, oh, what?
I wasn't ready. But after the last episode, people were like, try this, Melissa, do this.
And you can start apps. You can start apps?
They was telling
she's worried about the security of it, like her nudes getting leaked. Don't nobody want her nudes but me.
Right. I mean, I don't know
how. I want them so bad. I would like them.
Send him a nude, Melissa.
Send him a nude.
Send him a nude.
Start a hashtag.
Send him a nude, Melissa.
I'm trying to send him a nude. They are trolling me. They have been in my DMs. They have been emailing me. They have been commenting.
Listen, the nude thing is a slippery slope for a lot of people because a lot of us, you know, have issues, body image issues. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to hit them angles, though, right?
I know. I got to get them angles.
Got to hit your angles. Yeah. Drake said that. The songwriter said.
You got to hit the angles. I got to send these nudes.
And I think you don't even have to start off nude.
That's what I was going to say. Just send like a sexually suggestive type of photo, right?
That might
be it could be panties. It could be, you know, you in your bra and panties. It could be a nice little gown you're in.
I'm with these ideas, but
yeah,
then
you start off soft. Yeah.
Start off. I'm here. I'm here for the tiptoe.
Absolutely.
I'm here for the tips.
That too. Right?
You start with the toes, end up with the titties.
That's it.
What I want
you
to see.
You start out. You start from the bottom. Now you
give
here.
Me a boomerang. Let me see a boomerang of them nips.
This man got to go.
Let me see a boomerang of them nips.
All the way. Throw him away.
What about this, though? This might make a few of y'all cringe when you hear it, but something that I like to recommend to those who are really sexually explorative is going to a sex club together, not necessarily to join in, but to watch.
What's
that's
a sex club?
Really erotic. So a sex club is basically like if you go to New Orleans, of course, there's a sex club there and you can go there and you can see people having live sex.
Hold on.
I wasn't
you
ready.
Can engage in live sex.
I've been to New Orleans.
Okay, well, you haven't been there?
Where the sex club at? I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
Is it on Bourbon Street?
No. You would probably pass it up because of where it is.
That's legal?
There's a doorman. It's legal there. There's a doorman there, and the doorman will let you in on the bottom floor. It's just like a regular club. It's a dance floor on the bottom, so you could dance. There's no sex going on there. It's BYOB, of course, because you can't be naked and sell alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go to the second floor. There's a library there. People have sex in the library. There's also a room that you could go into where people are having sex there, and you can ask if you can watch. So they can't see who's watching, right? And that is extremely erotic
for those people. I like to make it like uncomfortable. I don't comfortable with the other sexes in there. What if
you can do your own thing. You can watch. You can go see some BDSM.
I want to see you sexy.
That is... I was unaware that that was.
I never heard of that
I
before.
I never knew that was.
I've been to New Orleans. I've never seen.
What are you covering?
I don't know. I feel like y'all can see me.
See, that's what I say. It might make a lot of people uncomfortable, but that's, you know, if you're really sexually explorative out there, you know, going to one of these sex clubs can be really invigorating for you.
Wow.
It could also be like, whoa, like I didn't know people did this. Like right here next door to the bank. Oh, cool. Right. Right in the bank.
Hold on. What's next door? They got a bathroom? They got plenty of stuff over there.
And it's like you could get a membership. They have all kind of stuff. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, if y'all come down to New Orleans, y'all go to Naughty and Nolens, y'all might get to
Naughty and Nolens.
The kids is gone this summer. Listen, if you want to take a trip,
I
love New Orleans.
Y'all should take a trip.
It's a city with a great character. We went to New Orleans for the tour last year.
Listen, they have this in Austin, Houston, Dallas.
I was unaware.
Yeah, when we get off, I'll tell y'all the name of it.
Okay. Do you have any other tips?
So yeah, these definitely are some of the, you know, soft things that you could do to be more sexually explorative. But one of the main things that I recommend people doing to be more comfortable, even outside of sex, in your relationship, is having deep conversations with people, with your partner, right? When you talk to each other, that opens a portal of... It's amazing. And I don't mean like... I mean, not like the everyday conversation. Mm-hmm. Not like what we're going to eat for dinner. The kids did this. Guess what happened at work today?
Exactly,
I have to do this.
I'll be
not
it.
This. God, that's why anointed I created the
me.
Cards.
Melissa,
but that's why
saying.
I
oh, we should have brought them in here.
That's why I create their car. Use your mouth. That's why I create them, because use your mouth. Talk about this. And it's specifically about sex and relationships. But you want to talk about things that you know, are deeper than what you talk about on a daily basis. That helps you to connect with each other on a more emotional level.
I'm trying to Melissa tell you, I be knowing the things, but I don't be knowing the things.
No, you be knowing the things. You just doubt yourself too much, but you be knowing
facts.
The things.
These are facts.
She said that verbatim, though. And I was like, what are you, like, what? But and what she really meant
deep
was
conversations.
Like, and I was like, but we talk every day.
Oh, y'all should do one.
And she, and really what she was missing was the vulnerability. Because what I didn't say was like, I'm scared of failure. And then she was like, oh.
See, when you start talking about stuff like that, that you don't know, you get to, you learn more about each other. And that deepens your connection. Absolutely. And guess what?
Do I need to shuffle these for like spades or?
You can shuffle them. Yeah. Okay. But there's the first one is the directions card. So basically you want to, use these cards when you have a few minutes to sit down uninterrupted. And you pull a card. I recommend you pull.
Read some of them. Nothing to do with like oral sex.
This is what my husband did. Right? It's like, about deep conversation. Like, he pulled a use your mouth card and he was like, "What I gotta do? I'm using my mouth." I'm like,
"That's
read
what
the
I was
direction.
Like." Yeah, yeah.
If you get a use your mouth card, that means you get to ask your partner a question or you get to challenge them to ask you a question. But this game is meant to have more conversations about sex and relationships to make
it
comfortable.
I'm gonna read a couple if you don't mind. So this is. Do I want to read the instructions?
No, you don't have to.
Okay,
y'all got.
So
it.
What do you say use your mouth is for?
Like, if you get the use your mouth card, basically, you get to ask your own question.
Okay.
Or you can say, you ask me a question.
So this is the wild.
Yeah, that's the wild.
So here's a question. What would you like to try sexually that you haven't already tried?
Mm.
Great question. And this is not a question that
don't go through so many, though.
I know, I'm just going to do like three. And this is one that's not sexual. What do you wish was different in your relationship or life right now?
Oh, I love these questions.
And that has nothing to do with sex. Right. That could be your career, whatever. Mm-hmm. What is erotic to you?
Than porn.
I'm gonna read two more.
Okay.
What would you like to know? What would you like me to know about you sexually? What are some examples of cheating?
That's a good.
And there's I saw a couple more, but I don't want to spoil them. But these are great conversation starters that don't have
and
to
I
end in sex.
Love right. conversation starters me because too. I often feel like it's like, oh, we want to talk, but. What are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
Like, how do we get here? Like, how do I bring
these
up? Or whatever.
Yeah.
How do people buy these?
I was just going to say that.
They can buy these. These go on sale on Valentine's Day.
This is her new product.
Oh, so they're available today then?
Yeah, today.
Because this episode airs on Valentine's
Day. That's right. That's right.
At onthegreencouch.com.
Love it.
Thegreencouch.com.
On the green couch.
Oh, I thought you were saying like on thegreencouch.com. It's literally on thegreencouch.com.
Yep. It used to be Conquest, but now it's onthegreencouch.com.
Go and buy these.
Yes. Change your relationship. Change the conversation.
I'll fire on y'all if y'all don't patronize her business. This is a black woman got a business in New Orleans.
And I love
and sex club. You heard me. She better have 50 orders on me. If she don't have 50 orders today, we got to. How much are these?
$20.
$20. If she don't have 50 orders on me, y'all ain't getting no episodes next week. And that's on the hood.
We need to buy
no bonus
some.
Episode. No,
we need to buy some, though. I would love to give those away.
I'm going
to
buy 10.
Okay.
And I'm giving one away today.
Cool.
I'm buying 10. Today, I'm going to PayPal you.
Okay.
And then those can be given away to people.
Okay, got it.
But y'all better buy them too, but I'm going to buy them. But then you give them away.
But y'all got to use them and tell me what y'all think.
We will.
After
I love doing these.
If she sends a nude because of you, I'm buying 100.
Melissa.
I'm buying 100.
She's going to send you a nude. Let her go from toe to toe.
Thank
right?
you.
I'm okay with the warm up.
Okay.
I'm not expecting a full nude.
I need to know you're okay with the warm up.
I'm okay with the warm up. Okay. I know it will work. I can see the vision.
Hello?
If you send me a baby toe, it could have a corn on. I'll be like, oh, I know what's coming. It ain't got to be today. Might not be tomorrow. Might not be this year.
But
I know you're thinking about me. I'm going to be looking at that toe. I'm going to be looking at the baby toe. I know that toe. Because I ain't going to hold you, Samara. When I be on the road for a long time, it's lonely.
I know.
And you don't want your mind to think crazy stuff. So I want to refocus all that energy back on her.
Send that nude.
It's all about you, girl. Send that nude.
Or if y'all were recording your sexual sessions, you could have one that you could look at when you're on the road.
Let's talk more about this.
Hold on.
That's definitely good.
No, hold on,
Kev. We got all type of tripods and lights.
Oh, y'all do.
I know. Hello?
Sex club right here.
Okay, stop.
Melissa, like, y'all doing too much.
Y'all are doing too much. Okay. However... I am part of the reason.
This is so funny to watch her struggle through
this. I'm so
She lost
right
3 pounds
now.
Of sweat weight today.
But part of the reason I was like, I need Shamira on the show. When I was listening to the Black Girls
Therapy for Black Girls podcast is because I knew I would be uncomfortable.
Yes, you said
it. And I know I want to be stretched. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I didn't mean for the pun.
You said it. I didn't say it. You got to be careful with the words you choose to use. As soon as I looked at Josh, he was like,
I'm sweating.
As soon as Josh
said, I saw him, and he was like,
I saw Josh. He's just like, I want her to be better than she
is. This is terrible. Okay, but I want to be taken out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, that's good.
And I want to bring people on that will challenge me.
Yeah.
And so I learned lots and lots and lots of things, and I appreciate your tips.
We gotta have her on for another episode, too.
No, listen, so we're about to wrap up right now, but the conference is coming, y'all. Mark your calendars, July 9th through 12th, 2020 in Atlanta. And I have already put a bug in Shamari. The first time we talked, I was like, can you just be my counselor?
You know
and
what we need to do?
Can you be a conference person?
This is serious. No, you just remember my mind. We only have 1,000 people that can come to the conference.
Oh, wow.
You need to create like a pre-sale wait list that people who listen to the podcast are made aware of it first.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that logistically?
Well, we have MailChimp, so we can either
add a form. But how do you get the podcasters?
You can have a form. You can have a Google form. You can have them email you.
It's like signing up for a newsletter.
Yeah.
But that'll just submit them for the MailChimp.
That's what I need
Yeah. And we need to create a list of people who will be willing to pay for the conference the moment it goes on sale.
Okay.
Because it's not going to last until 2020.
I hope it is
going to be sold out this year, and I want people who listen to the podcast. Oh, I already know.
It is.
It's gonna. And I want people who listen to the podcast regularly to mm-hmm. have first dibs.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a good
because
idea.
It's only right that if you listen fair, because fans will just buy it.
Sure.
Right. But if you listen to the podcast regularly, we should have like a Love Hour podcast mailing list.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
Right. For MailChimp. And we'll figure out how to do that. Hopefully by the time this episode airs.
Okay.
So that way when the tickets are released, because once I'm gonna tell you right now, moment I have to pay the deposit,
it's coming.
The ticket's gonna be on sale because that deposit. I was like, why do they need all that right then? We need to make sure you ain't playing amount.
You can just create a landing page where they sign up for it. Like
that's a what good you idea. Do.
Yeah,
lovehour.com. Yes.
Okay.
So we need to tell Terrell. We have a website guy.
That's already bought. The lovehour.com is already.
Lovehour.com. Just make the landing page a click where you can submit. Add it into the mailing list right. for pre-sale thing.
And I love it. Already have the emails captured.
Okay. You
already have
the emails I love captured. This idea. So that is, I'm going to be working on that basically today and tomorrow. So yeah, I think that's it.
Did you have anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
You said we're going to get to some stuff later.
No, well, that's why I wanted to make sure she wanted to get.
Exploration yeah. part, right? You know, a lot of people want to be sexually explorative, but they don't know where to start. And it's talk to your partner about it, right? Mm-hmm. You can start off every day, too. If you want to just be intimate, how can I be a better partner today? Mm-hmm. That transforms relationships. If you ask that one question every day instead of the good morning, babe.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You can send the good morning, babe, but good morning, babe. What do you need from me today? Good morning, babe. How can I be a better lover today?
That is a good question.
Right?
That's a great question.
As simple as just give me a hug when you see me. Mm-hmm. Or it could be as complex as let's go to a sex club tonight.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Or send a nude.
And create your own relationships. Don't worry about what Melissa and Kevin are doing and Jane and John are doing.
Yes. Do not use this podcast as blackmail. Against your people.
Please don't.
Do not say, look what Kevin
is. Start with where you are.
Jumping off point. This is a conversation starter for you to find yourself comfortable in your relationship.
Absolutely.
I used to try to blackmail Melissa and stuff from marriage conference. I did. When we first got married, marriage conference, they said this and this guy said that. I'm not married to them. That is not our intention. Don't be like, Melissa said in news, Kevin. No, you got to work on your own soul
don't
salvation.
Do that.
I'm working on
people
news
because
that's
though.
What
they,
I
mean, it's just a natural thing that people do. Like, you know, Shamaris and Jesus are news. So, no.
Right. I just did it today, actually. But I didn't say Shamira did, but I'm trying to pressure her.
Get off of
But
her.
I'm okay
Thank
with the tone.
But create your own relationships. Go Amen. At your own pace. There's no race. Enjoy each other, especially if you're married, right?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. with whatever you and your partner determine is healthy and safe, and you want to explore in those ways, you could do that. So bring the toys to the bed, bring the whips and the chains, but consult with me first, because that's my lane, right?
Oh, and I have another question.
Somebody, when you send the toe picture,
hello,
put some panties on it.
Okay,
on the foot. You got a foot fetish?
No, just because I want to see the panties.
Okay, I have one question, really quickly before we just wrap up, and that is, can you? Couple questions. Mm-hmm. Tell us how to reach you, where to find you on all your social medias, your website, and all of that, but also explain the difference between a sex therapist and a sexologist, or like what specifically you do, and do you offer, like, if people in our audience were like, I need her to counsel me, if you offer like online and that kind of thing. Okay,
so I can be reached first at onthegreencouch.com. That's my website. I can also be reached on social media, Instagram and Facebook, at Sexologist Shamira. And as it relates to sex therapists and sexologists, so a sexologist, there's just a distinct difference. A sexologist is a person who has advanced clinical training in human sexuality, who can treat and diagnose sexual disorders. And that person is usually a licensed mental health professional. So I'm a licensed clinical social worker. A sex therapist is someone who specifically treats people and a sexologist can be a sex educator, a sex coach, sex therapist.
Sex coach?
Yeah.
What's that?
So basically, Melissa asked if people could contact me outside of Louisiana, and I do sex coaching as well, or intimacy consulting. So basically, if you call me and you say, hey Shamira, I heard you on the Love Hour podcast, and when you were talking about women not orgasming, that's me, like, how can you help me do that? So as a sex coach, it's not like therapy. It's different, because there's, like, unless there is a mental health issue, then I refer you for therapy. But if I'm your sex coach, and the goal is to help you explore orgasms, and so that's what we would do. So basically, if you have a sexual issue, your sex coach helps you or coaches you to the solution.
Like a life coach for sex.
Absolutely. Like a life coach for sex.
I get that.
So yeah, I definitely do work with people. I have limited slots for sex coaching.
She booked and busy, y'all.
Yes, y'all. B&B. But I do sex coaching, and that's just the difference. So a sex therapist is, they just probably don't identify as a sexologist, but technically they are a sexologist.
Got you.
Because they've got the education and the training.
Got you.
Yes.
I love it. And you said where to reach you, and I think that's it.
Yeah.
Do you have anything closing remarks, Kev?
I've had a blast.
I did too.
We should bring you on a couple more times.
I
think there's so many different things we can talk about.
There's a lot to talk about
we might probably going to take a break, I imagine, from sex after February. Mm-hmm. But I think it's such a, especially for our audience, because we weren't, you know, we've been trying to be safe. So we weren't like, I tell Melissa, we talk about this all the time. The one sex conversation I had with my parents about sex was when I was 19. My mom said, are you still a virgin? And I laughed. And she was like, oh, I don't want to hear nothing else. That was
it. She knew.
Mm-hmm. There was no talk about healthy. And honestly, what is really interesting is we were talking about this. We don't know what to tell our boys about masturbation.
Oh, I actually want to bring you on. We should have another conversation, because I actually do want to have a conversation about how to approach sex with your children and how to ensure that they have a sex positive view. I think that is such an important topic.
Because we talked to them about consent already.
Good.
Yeah.
Because the whole Me Too thing, we was like, all right, man, we need to prep you.
Good. Yeah.
So I think that's it. Kevin, any last thoughts? I think you just gave your last thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I have no last thoughts either. I'm lying. I do have one last thought, and that is intimacy.
Yes.
Seen, heard, valued. So important. So, so important. It's my favorite definition, my favorite nugget of this entire episode, that intimacy is being seen, heard, and valued. Yes. I think that is it. Thank you guys so much joining us today.
God,
we will see you at the conference for real, for real, for real.
Yes. Can't wait.
Yes, and please join us for next week's episode. And thank you to our sponsors, Blue Chew, bluechew.com, enter promo code LoveHour.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Boom.